It's time again for our Tuesday morning visit from reporters of PolitiFact Virginia at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. They check the facts of statements and comments by Virginia political figures. And first, we welcome to the microphone Jacob Geiger. Jacob, you wrote about a statement by former Senator and Governor George Allen that Tim Kaine, who could be his opponent for the Senate next year, when Kaine was governor, proposed, quote, over $6 billion in tax increases from the time he entered the governor's mansion until the time he left, unquote. You checked the facts on Allen's statement. What did you find?
This claim is centered on tax proposals by Kaine in 2006, 2008, and 2009. The first two have to do with the state's transportation woes. The 2006 plan was alongside one from Senate Republicans. There are two competing plans, with both wanting to raise about $1 billion a year through a mix of new taxes and some other higher fees. Allen counted this as a $4 billion tax increase, since that's how much it would have raised during Kaine's term. But that's not really how you should have charged it, and that's not how the state budget would have measured it. Really, it should be called a $1 billion proposed increase. The second proposal is from 2008, when Kaine sought to raise $1.1 billion through higher titling taxes and vehicle registration fees. That came after the 2007 compromise that did not have new taxes collapsed because voters hated the abusive driver fees that were part of it that would have made very expensive tickets for Virginia residents. So that's $2 billion from transportation proposals. The final one comes from December 2009. Kaine wanted to raise the income tax by 1 percentage point and partially offset that by eliminating the car tax once and for all. It would have raised $1.9 billion in new revenue, though taxpayers would have seen a break of $650 million in car tax payments. So by our count, that's $4 billion in tax increases offset by $650 million in smaller car tax payments. So Allen's right about there being several tax proposals, but this is double counting and over-exaggerating the size of those increases. So we rated it half true.
Half true on the truth-o-meter. You found that he had pretty much the right idea, but the wrong math.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, you also wrote, Jacob, about a statement about Allen by one of his Republican opponents in the upcoming primary contest next year, Jamie Radke. She said about Allen that he voted when he was in the U.S. Senate to add $3 trillion to the federal debt, that he voted to raise the debt ceiling four times, and voted for the No Child Left Behind Act, which they see as a federal mandate, while he was serving his one term in the Senate. So you checked that out, and what did you find out?
Let's start with the $3 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
There are about a dozen appropriation bills every year that set the budget for different parts of the federal government. Allen voted for every single one every single year while he was in the Senate. And now by our math, debt climbed by $3.2 trillion during his term, which is about $16,896 per second. So Radke actually underestimates the amount of debt increase. It was slightly higher than she said. In case you're wondering what's happened since 2006 when Allen left the Senate, debt has climbed by $51,856 per second during the time Jim Webb has been in office, the Democrat. Now, the debt ceiling votes came in 2002, 2003, 2004, and 2006, with Allen voting yes each time. We found those votes in the Senate archives. Senator John Warner of Virginia, who was in office at the time, voted yes on three of the four. He said no in 2002. The only Republican to vote no all four times was John Ensign, a senator from Nevada. Most Democrats at the time were voting no on these debt ceiling measures. So Radke's right about that part of the claim. And finally, Allen joined with 86 other senators in the bipartisan vote for No Child Left Behind. The bill was a broadly supported measure because it was a compromise between Republican President George Bush and Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts. That's why you saw such a high number of senators voting in favor. So Radke's right on all three parts, on the total debt, the debt ceiling, and No Child Left Behind. We rate her statement true.
Now let's call in Sean Gorman of the PolitiFact Virginia staff. Sean, good morning.
Good morning.
You wrote about a statement put out by an organization called Campaign for America's Future, claiming that Congressman Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, the Republican leader in the House of Representatives, and a Virginia congressman, that he, quote, wants to eliminate Social Security, unquote. You checked that out, and what was your finding?
Well, other liberal groups have made the same argument, citing a comment Cantor made at a March 21st appearance at the conservative Hoover Institution. And in that appearance, Cantor said Social Security, quote unquote, cannot exist in the future for people under age 55. And liberals argued that statement means Cantor is saying he wants to abolish Social Security. Our colleagues at PolitiFact National in D.C. looked at this claim and ruled it was false in a story published on April 1st. And about a week later, the Campaign for America's Future, another liberal group, used the same statement to say in a television ad that Cantor, quote, wants to eliminate Social Security. We found this is a case of cherry-picking a quote without giving it context. When you look at the rest of what Cantor said at the Hoover Institution, he also said people under 55 would face, quote-unquote, changes in Social Security benefits. That suggests he wants to see the program changed, not abolished. And Cantor has made other statements where he talks about reforming or modernizing or changing entitlement programs like Social Security in some way, and those statements indicate he sees a future where Social Security continues in some form. And Cantor's argument is that Social Security is on an unsustainable path and needs to be changed in some way. And he hasn't specified how Social Security should change, but the context of everything he said about the program suggests he wants to see it being altered in some way, not ended entirely. Now, repeating a false claim doesn't make it right, so we rated this claim for the Campaign for America's Future as pants on fire.
Meaning not only false, but recklessly false. Like,
yes, ridiculously false. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks to you both, Jacob Geiger and Sean Gorman of the PolitiFact Virginia staff at the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Thank you, Wayne.
They join us each Tuesday morning.